Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you for joining us. Today, Brian Malkiewicz is here.
Hello.
Brian, you're new to the show. What platform do you play on?
Xbox One.
Xbox, and I bet you play with this guy a lot, Finnegan.
That's right. Me and Brian are over on the Xbox platform, and we are in the same fire team. We roll together most of the time.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us today, guys.
Yeah.
A lot of exciting news to talk about. Today, we're going to talk about the Court of Oryx reveal. We're going to talk about Destiny's free Taken King Crucible Week, and Destiny, why the 2.0 update is going to be awesome. There's a ton of stuff dropping on the 8th. But first, let's get right into it with the Court of Oryx stuff. Sean, what did you think?
So Bungie had their third and final like pre-Taken King live stream reveal, and they had laced up Lauren, and they showed us like Court of Oryx, which is their new sort of public event-driven event that happens in the Dreadnought, and I actually thought it was pretty cool. It's really interesting, right? Like, public events kind of before in Destiny were just things that you ran across in the world, and they were pretty easy and presented not much reward. Looks like Bungie's trying to change all of that with Court of Oryx. You have the ability to activate these with your fire team by using a rune that's kind of a consumable. There's three different tiers, and increasingly difficult tiers yield better rewards, and they present all sorts of new mechanics and different types of enemies. It's going to be really kind of interesting, and it's going to be a fresh look on what public events are supposed to be.
Yeah, you kind of like quarter up, you know, like you put in the rune if you get there first, and then you trigger this event, and some of the stuff we saw was like three witches come out and you have to damage them all until they're like almost dead and then kill them all at the same time, for example.
Yeah, that was one of the really unique, cool mechanics that we've seen that the Guardians had to face that we haven't seen before in public events.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a lot more different ones like that.
Yeah, there was a cool one where there was two knights?
Yeah.
And then they both had an indestructible shield unless they were
close to each other
to when it depleted the shields, and then you can start taking them down.
There was also the ogre one where you had to like blow up the thralls to drop his shield, and then you'd DPS him. Which was your favorite? Oh, and then there was the Cabal one where you had to kill all his minions and then damage him.
Right.
Yeah.
I really like the witch one, just because like witches, whatever they're called, wizards.
They're wizards.
I call them witches.
Yeah.
I call them wizards.
Why
does
it call
often?
Them? I don't know. It's
witches and wizards. Harry Potter.
Yeah, they're the same. Mm-hmm. They're the same thing. Enemy type. That was my favorite, just because like those are always the toughest enemy to fight. Like if you get caught in their like volley of sort of like arc damage or whatever, you just get wrecked.
Yeah. And, along with their little poison.
Yeah, their poison cloud that like slows you down and like
so
makes you feel like it. Even if it doesn't do all that much damage, it feels like your world is ending when you're caught in that. Right? I like fighting against those because I find them difficult, and to have to deal with two of them at the same time was really cool.
Yeah. What about you?
I thought it was great. Like I was saying with the two knights with the shields, that's a mechanic I don't think we've seen in the game yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's gonna be great to see how that actually works out.
Yeah. I like the Cabal one mostly footage reasons, because they were like down to like 0 seconds and they dropped him. I was like, oh, that was intense.
That was pretty cool.
I hope there's a lot more moments like that in the Court of Oryx.
It seemed pretty intense. Like, we didn't get to see what Tier 3 Court of Oryx looks like. Mm-hmm. I just imagine it's even more intense than what we saw on the stream.
Yeah, so Tier 1 was you fight one boss, you kill him, he's at a lower level. Tier 2 was you fight two bosses that are a little more powerful, and then you kill them. Do we think that Tier 3 is just going to be like, fight three bosses, I guess, and they're really strong?
It'll be Atheon.
They'll be taking Atheon
and then follow up Crota. Yeah. Where you have to steal his sword from him.
His son's still alive. Why is he so mad?
He teleports you to Venus this time. Yeah. You're just like, what? How do I even? Do I go to orbit? Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'm interested in just like what the reward tier looks like from that, because Court of Oryx does seem to be like a focal point for what they're focusing on in the Dreadnought, and it's like, I really hope it just doesn't end up petering out like public events did in vanilla Destiny, which is like everyone's super stoked at the very beginning and like really interested in participating, and then once we realize like the rewards aren't that good and they're not that interesting,
it's a good way to farm marks. So
they are. Okay, they're good like from like level 1 to 20, but once you start getting 25 to 30, and you're just like, oh, Fallen Walker, cool.
Yeah,
and just keep going. Just go past them. It's like whenever like a Fallen, like House of Wolves Fallen guys.
No, you know what I'll do?
I'll
take like one shot and be like, I'll let the low guys get it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I'll still get the gold tier once they finish it.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever not gold tiered a public event?
I mean, when you're low level.
When you're low level.
Oh, I can't even when I was yellow leveled, I don't even think I ever.
You probably didn't get a kill the target at a low level because like.
Oh, that's true. Because those are still kind of tough.
They just, you need to Gallahorn them or like have a really good shotgun to take them down.
They run away.
Yeah, and they're running the whole time, so you can't really get close.
You can't sprint and reload at the same time, which is dumb.
Yeah, I think those are like the worst encounters to experience. But most of the other ones are pretty fun. I really like the Fallen Walker events.
I like those because it's just like shoot them as fast as you can. It's not even gonna move.
Yeah. So do we feel like that the Court of Oryx is something to be excited about? That's the question I have down on the paper.
Depends on the loot. They didn't show us the loot that they got from the chest.
Yeah, well,
they kind of
they showed one drop, I think, but it wasn't
from tier one, right?
Yeah, from tier one, it wasn't anything great that I remember. Like nobody was like, "Oh,
yeah." I wouldn't expect tier one to even be that good, though, right? It's just a tease until the next tier and then the next tier. And I think tier three is really where we're gonna see the legendary or possible exotic drops.
Tier one is like 20 APOE. Like you do it so that you can just like farm it. Yeah. And, like. Mm-hmm.
And I think tier three is the hard one.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's as hard as Skolas.
I'm excited for it because of the new mechanics type thing. Like, I really want to see Bungie's innovation as far as, like, how they make mobs and NPC or, like, you know, enemy NPCs work together and how Guardians are going to have to figure out the puzzles to beat them. Like, I love the idea of, you know, shared health, or not shared health, but like you have to kill each one of these witches out of the three at the same time, or like they'll revive each other type thing. I think we could use a lot more of that in Destiny in boss encounters as well, and I think that this is a good step in the right direction to see that Bungie's thinking about that, so I'm excited for that part.
I really, really like the gameplay. The idea of triggering a public event or boss is great because you can just go there and like get it out of the way.
Around in the Court of Oryx and wait for them to spawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like right now what I do when I'm patrolling, I'm just like, all right, I know because of DestinyPublicEvents.com, like I'm going to go sit here and wait for this public event to happen. All right, it happened. Where's the next one? 2 minutes. Okay, maybe I'll make it. All right, it didn't trigger. I'll go wait 8 minutes in this other spot. This way, you just have a, like, you put your rune in, and it happens, and you get your goodies right away. Right.
And you can collect runes. You pointed this out, but you can collect runes kind of just anywhere in the Dreadnought by doing most things, right?
It seems like you get it from these public events. Like, there was a circle there, and they triggered it, and then all the Fault Taken came out. And they killed them all, and then they got the rune, you know, and then they brought it to the Court of Oryx. My concern is what's going to happen when there's like 30 people at the Court of Oryx all trying to trigger this public event to get the reward.
Right, so there was some discussion about this in the office just during the stream, but like, is the speculation here that it's going to be instanced? Like, that seems to be the way
that
they would fix
it. Oh, like you go into the Court of Oryx and
then you know how, like, when you're doing a strike or something, there are some strikes where you enter a public area and you see other people? And
right.
It's like, it's part of the strike, but there's something there that other Guardians can't see, and it's, like, it's instanced, right? Like, you're still within that sort of single server instance with just your fire team. I think that's probably how it would work.
Like, in any world, though, there's, like, 20 to 30 people in that world, like, just in the public space at
the same
time.
Can they really call it a public event if it's instanced?
I mean, I think you could still call it that, whether or not it's actually public.
My concern is, like, what if you can't trigger the thing? Because, like, you can't trigger 30 of them at the same time. you know, it's like one person at a time, like from what we saw on the stream. And then there was also like a cooldown timer after they completed it, so you couldn't just like, you know, keep getting the reward for it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I'd have to watch the video again, but I don't recall there ever being a point before they enter that area, or like after the Hall of Souls, but before they enter the Court of Oryx, whether or not you see like them enter a no respawn only
Darkness Zone.
Darkness Zone, which is a big hint that it's an instanced area. Yeah. I'd have to rewatch the video to confirm that, but like, I think that's how it, that, I mean, to me, that seems the smart way to do it, right? So that you don't have like 30 teams of three, like all waiting in line to kind of like get their, you know.
Would they be waiting in line, or they would just be helping out?
No,
at that
you'd
point,
help.
They be?
So that, like, all right, let's get this guy done faster. And I mean, like,
my assumption is that it's just going to be like,
audience never help. They just troll.
Yeah.
No, people always help during public events, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's, I think, because if, yeah, so, if we spawn with other people, I think it's just going to be like any normal public event where they can just take part.
I know I'd help out. Like, oh, okay, this guy just triggered it. They're in the middle of it. Let's just help him drop these.
The loot. You want the loot.
Dumb knights. And yeah.
They might just be smart about how many people they allow to spawn in the area at a specific time.
It's going to be interesting. I wonder if this is going to be like tons of people just doing this. Probably at the beginning. I think it'll peter out later. But like when it launches, like everybody's going to want to try out Court of Oryx. Everybody's going to be exploring the Dreadnought.
It's just like with the Fallen Wolves. Mm-hmm. That's, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like everybody was doing that. Yeah. It was cool. I liked it. Anyway, let's move on. So this weekend, we are going to get to try out the new Taken King Crucible events like Mayhem and Rift. What do you guys think about Rift?
Stoked.
Yeah.
Capture the Flag modes are awesome.
Yeah.
And Destiny is long needed one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be using old powers, but I think this is pretty cool. It's something that Bungie has been kind of doing with each release, where they let you try out Rift and they're letting you try out Mayhem with old abilities. But it's a really smart marketing tactic.
Yeah.
Like, it gets people, like, into the world early. And also, like, it's coming at the same time as the 2.0 drop, which we'll talk about in just a second.
Grab your Syros.
Yeah, grab your Syros. everything's changing. I hope auto rifles are better.
Yeah.
They're definitely better, right?
They're going to be better, but just the question is, like, we don't really know how much better until we get our hands on it.
So what mode are you guys going to try out first, Rift or Mayhem?
I've had the least amount of hands-on time with Rift, so I want to get into that first, because I've played a lot of Mayhem, and I kind of know what to expect. And also, Mayhem is all about supers, and we don't have the new subclasses, so I'm not all that interested in getting in there immediately, although it would be amazing just to have like Golden Gun or Fist of Havoc up all the time, which
it's every 45 seconds or something. I timed it out.
45 seconds if you're not killing anybody.
Yeah, 45 seconds if you just stand there and don't do anything. So if you're getting assists or kills or you're capturing points or you're doing anything else, it's going to lessen
that
time.
That was an E3 build. They may have adjusted the time. So
But the point is fast. Your intellect,
it's fast.
Mayhem is aptly named. Like, it's total chaos, and which is awesome. It's a lot of fun. But Capture the Flag modes are, like, I don't know. That's the new one. That's the new thing, like, out there that I haven't really played all that much of, and I really want to do that because Halo Capture the Flag is, like, some of the best experiences in all of multiplayer games that I've ever played, and I kind of want that to be the same thing in Destiny for me.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to play Mayhem or Rift at any of the events you've been to? No,
I haven't played any of it.
Brian's an editor; he's stuck in the
stuck in their war rooms. But no, I'm excited for the Mayhem. I'm into the chaos.
Yeah. So you've watched coverage.
I've watched coverage
of it.
Yeah. I'm a little skeptical about going in since the new supers aren't there. But at least it'll get your feet wet and see how chaotic it is.
So for Mayhem, let me ask you guys this: like, we're talking about powers and everything. What class are you gonna roll?
Well, I mean, Warlock, so.
Warlock. So you're going to do Warlock? What about you?
I main a Titan, although I really, really like my Hunter. And I remember when I first started my Hunter remarking to Brian over here, like, I think that I may end up maining this class when it comes to to the Taken King. But, I don't know, Sunbreaker is so awesome, and I cannot be not throwing hammers at people. So I think I'll main my Titan, work on getting him maxed and PvP with him. Plus, my stats are higher PvP-wise with him, like, I'll just do that first and then get to my Hunter later.
It's interesting that you bring up your second class, like, starting to be your favorite, because I started Warlock, and then I made a Titan, and I'm like, oh, I really like this shoulder charge, double grenades with Armamentarium and multiplayer is great. I kind of want to main Titan, but I think a lot of people really like Sunbreakers, that whole, like, pop, throwing hammers and everything. Oh, yeah. It's just, it's really cool.
Gonna feel very satisfying to just throw that hammer.
I just, I mean, you and I have played it. You feel super powerful because you have six hammers. Yeah,
they pop like, bubbles. Yeah. It's like bubble pop. You're all dead. You know?
Like it's a really.
Does it kill after you pop the bubble, or does it just pop the bubble?
Well, it pops the bubble, and then you throw the next one, and everybody dies.
Yeah, it's really powerful. In fact, I feel like it's more powerful than definitively more powerful than the other class of supers. But that's just speculation. I haven't had a lot of hands-on time with it, but. I think you're right. I think a lot of people are really interested in playing the Titan class, and you may just see a lot of Titans running around in Titan King.
I think you're going to. So I hope in the office, like, we have a balanced, like, Hunter, Warlock, Titan, you know, but I play on a different platform. So
yeah, I mean, true. You don't have to worry about it. What are you going to main over on PS4?
PS4, I'm really torn between Hunter and Titan. On Xbox, I only have a Titan, so, I mean, that's what I'm going to main.
What's your best geared one right now?
On which platform?
On PS4.
I mean, they're all equally geared. So, yeah.
Well, the best part is you can bring up another character easily to level 25.
That's the thing, is I don't have a third character yet, so I'm gonna bump a Warlock.
Yeah.
Finally.
So, I actually, on Xbox, it's Titan 34. I got a Hunter to, like, 18, almost 19 this last week. And then I can just bump a Warlock up to 25. I don't have to do any of the work. But at the same time, I kind of want to experience the story as like a new Guardian with all the new changes when 2.0 drops to kind of just see what it's like. Like, how different is it going to be like starting a new character with this new build of the game?
That might be interesting just because, like all the new Nolan North voiceover could
dramatically.
I mean, what else is really changing besides that, though?
We know the voice is changing. They haven't really talked too much about it.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, it would be interesting to do, but
they want
know.
You
it's
to
so
re-experience
slow.
The vanilla campaign. Yeah. So I'm wondering what else besides the voice is changing, because you got to give me something.
The weapon balances, of course. But.
I think it really depends. What I end up doing really depends on how long it takes me to get from 34 to 40, because if it takes me longer than I anticipated, then the whole dead zone that used to exist between 20 and 28, where you're looking for gear that has light and you can't really find it because you're not high enough to do anything like where you get gear that has good light on it. I just don't want that area to be like even more of a dead zone now that you're grinding XP.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would, because now you have to imagine you're going from level 1 to level 40.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
I'm really excited about Rift. Rift with, like, answering that Capture the Flag need that we asked for forever. And, like, they've put a unique spin on Capture the Flag where, like, there's a centralized flag. Everybody has to go for it. There's a timer on it. You get points for, like, making progress. They really thought about, like, what wasn't perfect about Capture the Flag.
Yeah.
And they tweaked it and, like, created a new gameplay mechanic.
What I love about it is that it adds viability to different build types now. Like, before, when I play, and I don't play a Warlock, but I play a Hunter and a Titan competitively in PvP, and it's like, there's no reason never to have the build that gives you most maximum armor and maximum agility. Like, recovery is useless, right? Because you can run away and then recover from someone, as opposed to hoping that you recover faster. Now it's like, recovery could actually mean a lot more because you're trying to get to a specific point where they may just be sitting on it, and like, you're taking fire from all sorts of different places. Like, it just adds like a whole, like a new level of like, sort of conception about your build. Like, you have to think about what's best for your build in that game mode, which is cool.
We're going to be streaming the new maps on the 8th, correct?
9th, I believe, because something is locked in for the 8th. But yeah, like, when Crucible 2.0, when that patch happens, there will be a live stream on IGN. We'll be doing a lot of PvP and testing out all the new weapons and getting a feel for that and kind of weighing in and all that stuff.
Cool.
So don't miss that.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to the 2.0 update. There is a ton of stuff about to happen with 2.0. So let's kind of go through it and discuss. Dinklage is going away, being replaced by Nolan North. Does that excite you guys at all?
It does. I mean, I've heard the voice. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, we heard it briefly, right? In that teaser trailer.
Yeah, in the trailer. It's like, I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
What about you, Sean? You Dinklage or Nolan, you just don't care?
I mean,
they're equal, like.
Yeah, I mean,
in your opinion.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call them equal. I mean, from what I've heard, I think Nolan North's done a better job as the Ghost. I also think that the ghost has been so inconsequential that he could be voiced by someone I had no idea who mm-hmm. he is, and it would be equally important. Like, I'm just not all that. I don't think it's a big – it's not a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next – well, I mean, for me, I'm really excited to see Nolan North's delivery and how it – like I said before, like, I want to see how it changes my experience going through the story. Like, maybe the narrative changes. Maybe it's delivered better by Nolan yeah. North. Maybe, like, the story makes some sense.
I hope they add the
well, I mean, I doubt
wizard
that,
came
right?
from the moon line oh, my. In Nolan North.
They add it back.
I hope they
That'd
do.
Be great. Yeah, that'd be great. Cool. Like, maybe there's fan service stuff like that in yeah, there.
Maybe.
I can't wait to experience that from the start.
Yeah, I mean, like, me too. Nolan North's a great voice actor, and mm-hmm. he's got a lot of range and a lot of versatility. I just don't think, like, there aren't enough ghost lines, at least to my memory in mm-hmm. the campaign, that like
he kind of talks to you, but it's all forgettable. Like, you just
yeah,
kind of
super
ignore
forgettable.
It. Yeah.
Like, most of at least, unless anything changes, which mm-hmm. we don't know it has yet, but if nothing changes, most of that dialogue happens when you're loading into story missions mm-hmm. or right there at the end, and there's not a lot of dialogue that happens otherwise. Like, it doesn't do what other games do, like The Last of Us, where there's like you're walking around and you're doing something, it's gameplay, but then there's just random dialogue happening between your characters. Like, that mm-hmm. doesn't happen
like
between
they're
you
bantering.
And your ghost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen between your ghosts. And if it does, then that would be a great time for Nolan North to shine. I just don't think it's going to.
Yeah. Next thing on the list is legendary marks now instead of the old mark system. That's going to actually, they updated and they said that's going to go into effect 9/15.
Yeah, it was originally supposed to happen this on the 8th, right?
But yeah.
They pushed it back.
So, what's going to happen with that is if you have like 200 Vanguard marks and 200 Crucible marks, those are going to be converted into commendations, and then you can burn those for reputation in the Vanguard and whatever, like New Monarchy or faction, whatever faction you decide to go with.
I thought they were just converting them into legendary marks. So they're not doing that at all?
They're not doing that at
okay.
all. As far as I know, it's just commendations. I mean, that's what they've said. So, everybody who plays Destiny, make sure you pick a faction before you start burning these things, because you can not only get a Vanguard package, but you can also get a faction package. What faction are you guys going to pick?
So I think I'm going to repick Dead Orbit.
Yeah.
I'm New Monarchy right now, but like, mm-hmm. I don't like the stats on New Monarchy. Like, it's strength. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of it's intellect strength, and it's like no one cares about strength. It's
yeah.
stupid. It's terrible. So
there's some titans like the strength stat because they'll pop a bubble and people come in, they one punch them, you know.
Okay, but I mean,
yeah.
if you
for
pop
the most
a,
part, no.
If you pop a bubble, if you're playing defender in PvP, mm-hmm. there's no reason you shouldn't be using Armor of Light anyway, or
yeah.
Blessing of Light maybe, mm-hmm. but like, I don't think you need the extra strength. Like, you're unkillable in that bubble.
Yeah.
Is the idea?
Oh, you know who uses strength? Hunters for throwing knives.
Well, so that was what I was thinking,
yeah.
is like strength, the question that popped up into my head like 10 seconds ago when we were talking about this was, does strength affect your damage with Flaming Hammer? Because is that a melee attack?
That's interesting.
That's
I
what I was wondering.
I
was thinking about that. Because mm-hmm. if it does, then it would be way more viable. But currently, Titans have the shortest melee.
Yeah.
Disintegrate, I mean, no one runs Defender, mm-hmm. so I don't even know what that melee is called. But Disintegrate, which is the Striker one. No one uses that. Like, you rely on shoulder charge for the
mm-hmm.
most part, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just what you do. And so there's no reason to have strength because, like, all it doesn't even increase the strength or the damage of the melee,
mm-hmm.
which already doesn't one shot. But it just reduces the cooldown of it. And it's like, that's useless because it's
yeah.
the worst melee anyway. So if strength did something besides reducing the cooldown, mm-hmm. like if it increased the damage or if it had something to do with your special ability, like, you know, Sunbreaker,
mm-hmm.
throwing the hammers, then it would be much more viable. But yeah, I think because of that, I want to spec to Dead Orbit because
Dead
it's
Orbit.
In a, like, discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you, Brian?
Dead Orbit.
Yeah.
Same. I mean, I picked that from the beginning. I'm only rank 3 with it still, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I already have it.
Well, rank 3 is fine. I mean, you can buy all your goodies.
Yeah, I can have all
know.
The good stuff. So
no one's going Future War Call with the
mark
scrolling?
That is cool.
I might try it out. I
yeah.
mean, just
so I maxed my Future War Cult because there was a time a couple months ago when I didn't have a great rocket launcher. Like, I was still waiting for, you know, Radagast's Fury or, like, an Ash Factory to drop.
Yeah.
And I had heard that the next best one was the Fear, which is the tier 3 rocket launcher you get from them, and so I have that ready. It's a
yeah.
pretty decent rocket launcher.
I have a ridiculous secret handshake that I'm going to miss. It has, like, 6 rounds, and it fires, like, blam, 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 like, seriously that fast.
Yeah.
So, like, anybody comes up to you, it's like, pop, pop, dead. like instant dead. Like witches in Prison of Elders or anything gets up on you, especially with an arc shield because it has the arc damage modifier. So, nice. Yeah, I'm going to miss that gun a lot.
There's a lot of guns I'm going to miss. We should do...
In Memoriam.
We should. I was going to say we should do... a segment on the show that's like our favorite guns that we're going to miss.
Yeah. We'll do that next episode. Which I never said which faction I'm going to roll. I think I am going to roll Dead Orbit also. They look the coolest. Like
they also do look the coolest.
They have the best looking guns and best gear, I think.
Future War Cult is like the Rainbow Clan.
Yeah, I don't like the color scheme. I could be okay with it if it was just blue and white, but the yellow in it looks
like,
terrible.
Yeah, like it just it doesn't work together usually.
When you put on the Hunter cloak and you're just like,
oh my god! Remember when I first started my Hunter? The only cloak I had was the Future War Cult one. You look like a NASCAR race car driver. Like it's
you
such
look,
a big.
You look like that, a sponsored Guardian.
Yeah,
is what
it looks
like.
Terrible.
Brought to you by Tide.
Yeah, like it looks really bad.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that, but that's a really good comparison.
This raid
to NASCAR
to you by
stuff.
Future War Cult.
There was like a whole raid when you guys dragged me through Vaults of Glass, like originally, where I just whined about that because every time I see it, I'm like, God, it's
you're going
so
to third person,
ugly.
No, get out of here. And then New Monarchy is okay, but like the red isn't like a bright red. It's like a muted red.
Yeah, it's kind of like a. I don't know. It reminds me of like the type. It reminds me of like what's the candy place? The chocolate, the famous chocolate place here in San Francisco, Ghirardelli's.
Oh,
it reminds me of like that type of red. The wrappers, like it's an ugly sort of chocolate red. Like I don't know.
Yeah,
doesn't look very good.
Some of the Prison of Elders like stuff that you get like capes and stuff. They're a really nice bold red, and
I just hate that
I
you
like
can't.
That.
Changes the colors on those though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, are we at that point yet where how many times have I said it, but like can't shaders affect just all gear, like exotics included?
Mm-hmm. That's happening. It's going to. That's gonna happen.
Good, because I have the great shader that like my Titan looks amazing, except I wear Armamentarium and right in the middle of my all white armor, there's this big like fat brown grenade armor
ugly.
Type thing.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
like when I'm wearing Starfire Protocol and just ruins the entire
ruins
scheme.
Yeah.
Wow. We've been talking about this way longer than I realized.
Next.
No more Elder Ciphers. Now they're going to drop from the chest as of 9/8.
What chest?
So just the chest.
The
that you get
chest.
There.
The,
but they're also taking away the Fallen Wolves. They're no longer going to be in the solar system. So I think you can still hunt down like the targets, but it's going to make the Fallen Wolf pack thing like obsolete.
So they're gonna have to retool some of the Queen's quests?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's gonna like kind of mess with that a little bit.
Let's see what she has.
Exotic bounties are gonna auto complete. So if you have any of those
couple,
Elder Cipher bounties, they're done. Like
that's on the
8th
or is that on the 15th?
So it says on the 8th.
Wow.
Does that mean like if you're on an exotic bounty that has multiple like parts?
If you just got Thorn bounty, it's done. You're done. You don't have to worry about it.
Not even just not just the step you're on.
If you
on,
just got the invective or the one where you got to dismantle those fusion rifles, those are done.
Man.
Yeah, I have two Elder Ciphers right now that I have no intention of going to complete.
Yeah.
Because the Prison of Elders doesn't have anything else on right now, so I'm just going to wait and go to Varix.
That makes me really want to do Skolas this weekend just because like maybe I'll get the other two Elder Ciphers on PlayStation, then I have all the weapons. I never have to do Prison of Elders again.
I want to wait till
I have
40
two
to
of
take
the
them on again.
I have two of the three. I have Queensbreaker's Bow and I have Lord of Wolves. I don't need
Drake's Promise.
That's I mean, I don't need that one. I mean, I wanted to collect it, but
just to have it. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm probably never going to use it.
But I do want Necrochasm. Does that auto complete, or do you need the Crux? How does that
you
one
need
work?
The Crux?
You need
that
the Crux
of Crota.
Because there's no bounty for it.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. It's not a bounty.
There's no bounty. Yeah. No.
It's because they're changing the quest system. So like they're like, okay, we got to like get rid of your old bounties. You know, so like any Vanguard or Crucible bounties that you haven't finished, they're getting deleted basically.
Yeah. So a lot of people were hanging on to their high level XP bounties that they've completed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Turn them in.
But turn them in because you're going to lose them because you're not going to be able to turn them in on the 19th to get XP.
Well, I think on the 8th.
No, but I mean, when the level cap increases, people are saving it for that.
Got it. Well, don't do that anymore.
Yeah,
At least that's what it sounds like. I would double check on the Bungie Weekly update, but that's what I think.
Said auto-abandoned on 9/8.
Auto-abandoned, that's bad. Collections added to the tower and exotic armor and weapons collections are also being added. So you can check that out and see what you've gained already and like what you're going to be able to get when you hit level 40. And finally, Motes of Lights can be used to grant XP. So it sounds like you can, like, what do you think that means, Brian?
Yeah, it sounds like you can just turn them in for XP somewhere. I mean, does that mean, like, they're losing their form as currency and just turning them into something for XP, like a Zerg.
I don't think so. Like, we've already seen on the streams that they're still a viable currency.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you read the weekly update closely, it actually says Motivai can be used to grant XP for weapons and armor.
Oh, okay.
So you're leveling up. At least I take that to mean you're leveling up your weapons and armor the same way you use bounties, bounties to level up your weapons.
If you turn in a
mode
of light for XP, you're not leveling your character or your subclasses. That's what it sounds like from the update, because it doesn't mention anything other than character. It doesn't mention.
I'm not making that up, right? Like, we read that together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I read.
It says armor and weapons.
So you use your mode of light somehow, and it gives you XP, and it levels up your weapons and armor. So, like, if you have a bunch of motes of light, and you don't need them, I mean, use them to level up your gear.
I've got hella, man.
I've got a lot. Yeah, but it also depends on
how many do you have. I had a ton, but I burned them all to get all the helms and stuff.
Yeah, I have almost 200, maybe.
Okay. Well, I have 300 shards that I'm never going to use, and 300 ascendant energy. That, like, seeing all of your year one weapons are like, just forget about them basically because you're going to upgrade to year two stuff. I think.
Like, I still have a lot of those
later, not immediately. Not like you want to save them for day one because if you dismantle them, you're going to get better stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm probably going to get rid of a lot of stuff like day one.
I foresee myself doing the same. What I want to do is figure out the best way to get rid of things, you know? Like, if
other than just dismantling.
Yeah, because I know you can churn in sort of ascendant materials and energy and all that stuff for glimmer, like using the glimmer trade at the light, speaker like or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I don't need glimmer. My glimmer's been capped for ever. I have a bunch of stuff to turn in for glimmer.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is if not glimmer, can I trade him for motes or something else that's going to be useful in the
future?
Your
shards?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can trade your shards for motes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can trade shards from the Vault of Glass you can change.
So you can take your energy and make them into shards and then trade in all your shards for motes. So, yeah, you can just stock up on
and
motes.
And I have 200-300 energy.
Yeah,
I can turn into shards.
So many of those.
And I'm never going to upgrade anything from your one anymore.
That costs glimmer, though, to do. So
glimmer isn't really a big problem right now.
No, right.
But I think it might be in a Taken King. I mean,
maybe.
I don't know. When I was first leveling up my hunter and I got to the point where I needed to level up a bunch of gear really quickly, then I found it to be a problem where I did not have enough glimmer. Like, there was that one night where you and me were like, we are broke.
We're broke.
Let's go farm.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Guys, we've come to the end of the show.
Cool.
Thanks for joining me to talk a little bit about Taken King. Overall, how excited are you?
Very.
I'm crazy excited.
I actually can't remember the last time I've been this excited about, a video game. Most of the time I'm just they come, they go, and even the ones that
game.
I really like.
It's an expansion.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm stoked. It's going to be
fun. I'm excited. I think it has a chance to reinvigorate the community, bring in a bunch of players that were lost, hit that level 20, and they're like, I don't understand light. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really excited.
Just excited Necrochasm is going to have justice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big change. There's a lot to expect. It's a good indication of what we can expect. Bungie has said and Activision has said that this is a 10-year franchise. Who knows if it'll actually be that? But if the change from year one to year two is any indication, then year three is going to be awesome. And year four, there's just a lot of cool stuff to think where this game might go.
Guys, do you like Fireteam Chat? Leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening today. And if you really like the show, you can go to go.ign.com/store and buy a t-shirt. Support the show. Brian, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Sean, thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure.
And until next time, Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Brian,
I didn't know.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.